Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Thank the Lord for the sweet spirit of the Holy Ghost. Brother Dennis kind of got ahead of my sermon tonight. You know, there's a couple things you shouldn't preach long before you preach about them. One of them's the cross, and the other one's love. Without the cross and love, you don't have anything. Isaiah 32:13, upon the land of my people shall come up briars, or thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Wow, the city of Jerusalem, the happy land, the city of David where he danced before the Lord, all this place where rejoicing went on. He said, there's going to be briars. It's the things that you find in the wilderness will be in the city. Now watch. Because the places shall be forsaken. It's not because I want to do this, but you have left me. You left me. The multitudes of the city shall be left. The forts and the towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses and a pasture of flocks. The things that should be in the wilderness are now in the places where men ought to be. But he said, until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high. Do you know what day that was? When the Spirit of the Lord, he said, it's going to be, we're going to swap it now. Jerusalem, my people's left me, and the things of the wild have taken over the place of the tame, if you will. But I'm going to change that when I pour out my Spirit. Hallelujah. Until I pour my Spirit out on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work, everyone say the work. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Amen. The work of God's righteousness shall bring peace. The work of God's righteousness was his Spirit, and bringing his Spirit back to man, and his Spirit shall bring peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation and sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Then Romans 13 and 10 says, love worketh no evil. Love worketh no evil. No evil to his neighbor, no evil to his brother, no evil to anybody, not even his enemy. Love worketh no evil. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Galatians 5 and 6. For in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. What he's saying, the works of the flesh availeth nothing, but faith which worketh by love. It's not by your works of righteousness, but by his works. I want to preach from this title, Love Works. Love Works. Now, I know there's a little shop in town y'all shouldn't be visiting. I'm not using their title, they're using mine. Love Works. I'm thankful that love works. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The source of all love is God. I want to use my little poster up here tonight. The source of all love is God. It's the source. So everything has to start with a source. Everything. You name it, it had a source. And so the source of all love, if you ever told anybody that you love them, the source of that love must come from God, for God is. He is love. Now watch. So the source of all love is God. And for love, he created us in his own image. And love cannot be displayed. Love cannot. Is anybody told the air, I love you, air? I mean, you can only say love when there is an object to love. You can't just say, oh, I love. Well, what do you love? I just love. Well, at least you're going to say, I love everybody. You got to say, I love something. Love has to have an object to be love. And the same is true with hate. I've seen some hateful people, and I wonder what they hate. They just act hateful. But they're hating something. It has a source. And so when we look, there is a fine line between love and hate. And so that the Bible says concerning Jacob and Esau, he said, Jacob, neither one doing good or evil. He said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau do I hate. And neither, they're still in the womb when the Lord said that. They were struggling and fighting. Love and hate was doing this in the womb, trying to pull each other. While love was trying to come out, hate was pulling it back. It was a struggle. And so that Rebecca says, Lord, if I'm so blessed like you say I am, then why am I thus? Why do I have all this going confusion in me? So God knows how to separate, and we have to too, know how to separate what we love and what we hate so that we don't end up hating what we should love and love what we should hate. So that he said, why did he say, I love Jacob? When you look at Jacob, did so many wicked things. And Esau, you know, it wasn't that. He said he despised his birthright. What he despised was what God loved. And God loves people. He loves the sinner. But he hates the sin. And so sometimes people think, God doesn't love me. Look at all this befalling me. If we're so blessed as Gideon said, then why is all this befalling us? And we begin to question God and think we're not loved of God. That is not true. If he didn't love you, he would have not died for you. But he there is a line between what he loves and what he hates. And what he loves is you. What he hates is the works of the flesh. And some people think that God hates you. It's not you. And you say, well, look what all's happened to me. The Bible says he chastises those which he loves. He said, if I don't chastise you, then you are not sons, but bastards. My son got some chastising. Why? Because I loved him. I ain't never whipped your son. I never whipped your daughter. What does that tell you? That's your job. You wouldn't love me if I whipped your daughter. You can say go ahead all you want to, but I know better. I got enough sense to know you don't do that, even though you say do it. And so love has a work, and I want to find out what it works. It's working something in my life. Why did God die for me? What is all this love stuff about? God is the source of love, and as Brother Dennis said, we are the recipient of God's love. He had to love somebody. So he said, I so love the world that I gave my only begotten son that whosoever believes in me should not perish but have everlasting. That's how much I love you. I'll give my life. The scripture talks about peradventure. You may find someone, die for a friend or whatever, and maybe someone for someone closer, a loved one. But he loved us while we were yet sinners. Now that's love. That's love. So we look at John. I got scriptures I want to show you here. 1 John 4 and 7. And he calls us, John says, beloved, meaning loved of Christ. Beloved, let us love one another. For God is love. Love is God. They're synonymous. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So we're finding out a little bit. He said, it's going to be a wilderness place and thorns and thistles and all this in Isaiah. He said, until I pour out my spirit. And it's going to change everything in your life. So that now Paul says, the things I once loved, I now hate. And the things I once hate, I now love. So he's changing the wilderness to a fruitful place and the fruitful place to a wilderness. Are you with me? He that loveth not knoweth not God. Amen. If you don't love God, it's because you don't know him. It's just that simple. You just don't know him. I couldn't love my wife until I knew her. This love at first sight, y'all go for that if you want to, but I had to know her a little bit. I wanted to hold her hand a little while. Got a little peck every once in a while. I wanted to know her so that I could find out if I really did love her. Now, she wouldn't kiss me at the red light. It didn't matter if there's nobody around. She would never do that, and I'm still holding it against her. God forgive me. After we got married, I said, now will you kiss me? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. See, love must be made manifest. You say you love me, keep my commandments. Quit saying it if you're not going to make it manifest. Because the love of God, watch this, because that God sent, now here's how it's made manifest. This is how God showed his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Because that God sent his only begotten Son, the only one born of a woman, into this world that we might live through him. We might live through his death. Now that's love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. You can't love what you don't know. But that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation or an offering or a sacrifice for our sins. Now watch this. So his love worked something. It worked to be a propitiation. It worked to be a sacrifice. So he said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I mean, the least you can do is love each other. Nobody's asking you to die for each other, just at least love each other. So the work of God's love is providing a sacrifice. Yeah, so his love was made manifest in that he sent forth a sacrifice which became a propitiation for our sins. So God so loved the world that he gave. He gave everything he had. Came down from heaven, took on flesh, breathed and died, and just like you and I are going to do. That's how much he loved us. He showed us his love. Now we understand that of God, he loved us. And the works of God brought about through Christ what is called righteousness. Say that with me, righteousness. In him was no guile. In him was no sin. Yet he died as a sinner. But it is only through the righteousness of Christ are we saved. Because your righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. It's no good. You're never going to be real righteous. I hate to say, as I've said before, you're just less wicked. Now, I know some people think that they're going to get real righteous and get saved. Wrong. You're going to be saved by grace and not by your righteousness. You're saved by his righteousness. Now, watch. So that his love began to work in our lives through his righteousness that we might be saved. Now, you and I are supposed to reciprocate this love towards him, and so we try to live a righteous life before him because righteousness shows love. When you do things that are right, it shows the love so that Christ many times said, I'm only doing what I'm told to do. I'm just doing what he sent me to do. And what happened? God said, I love the world. So Christ said, I love you too. I love you too. And so the love of God was provided to us through the sacrifice of God, through his son Jesus, who wrought righteousness into the world that you and I might believe on him. Because they couldn't really believe on a God they hadn't seen. And this God that spoke to Moses, it's kind of hard to believe all that. But when he came, he said, we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And men began to believe on God. because they saw Jesus Christ. Even was it not Philip that said, "Shew us the Father," and he said, "He that's seen me has seen the Father. I am God in the flesh." And so while the scripture says here that God is love, God also, it mentions that, as I've said, he has hate. So there's obviously this line that we have got to understand. I have worked, and maybe this will help somebody tonight that's struggling with this. I have worked with people many times that said, "I just hate him. I hate her. I don't know if I can be saved because I hate them." And so one lady, and it was a terrible thing that happened to her, young in life, and so she was in my office one day, and I said, "Look, stop right there. Stop right there." I said, "Let me ask you something. If this person that did this to you was to come to you and bow down on their knees crying in true repentance and said, 'I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I was wrong. I messed up your life. It messed mine up too. And I am so sorry.'" I said, "Would you forgive him?" She said, "Absolutely." I said, "Then you don't hate him. Then you don't hate him. What you hate is what he did. And God hated that too. So let's get this straight, what we hate, lest we cheat ourselves out of the blessings of God." And so we've got to separate the two from the act of what people do and the people. And so while the scripture says that God is love, we have to understand that that people can have hate in their heart about the evil acts of men, but not against the man or the person itself. It's important to know this. It was God's love that brought about the sacrificial lamb to take away the sins of the world. God hated sin so much. See, now watch. He hated sin so much, but yet he said, "I love the world." So he unveils himself in flesh to prove his love to take away their sins that they might be saved. That's, I would clap my hands too. That's worth clapping your hands to. Because what happened was he hated sin so much that he said, "I can't save them like that. So I'm going to make a way that to get rid of their sins because I love them. Through forgiveness, I'm going to make a way." So when we read Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Those who were alienated from even, it's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles and all of those. We're not of the Jews, and we were so far from salvation. But through his blood, everybody is brought nigh unto Christ. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one. He hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." He broke down the wall that separated love and hate. So that now he can eradicate what he hates. So now he loves us and we love him. "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace." And you know the first person you need to be at peace with? Yes, sir. Yourself. And until you get to be at peace with yourself, quit worrying about whether other people like you, what they say about you. Because I'm here to tell you, when you got peace within yourself, you don't have to worry about what they say. They can't disturb my peace. And that's why Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." If the world gives me peace, then it can take it away. But if Christ gives me peace through his love, nobody can take that peace away. And going on to 16, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross." Why? How? "Through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace unto you which were afar off and to them which were nigh." The New Testament refers to Jesus as the God of peace. It also refers him to as the King of peace. So that he came to establish peace. What did the angel say? Came to Mary. "Peace on earth and goodwill." I've tried to teach you what goodwill is. If you sell something, let's say a business, and like I have a business, and it has, you know, chairs, and it has a building, it has all these things, but there's something in there that you can't see. It's called goodwill. and it has the greatest value of anything. Because what good is the sticks going to do you and the brick going to do you if you don't have the goodwill of the one selling it to you? If I give it to you and seek to destroy you, what good did that do? So it was peace on earth and goodwill. In the Old Testament, it wasn't such goodwill. I mean, you couldn't please God in the Old Testament. I mean, it was hard because you didn't have that spirit that he said, until I put my spirit in them. This whole thing changed. And so reading now again in 1 John 4 and 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God, again, is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Wow. Man, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is,